Thank you very much for your welcome. It's lovely to be with you again. My name's Carol Richardson. I'm a teacher in Bury St Edmunds and a Baptist lay preacher. I think it's a year since I've been with you. We were trying to remember, I think we did the carol service last Christmas. So it's lovely to be with you again. Kate is on holiday, having a rest with her family. So we do pray for God's blessing upon her that she will feel restored and refreshed through this holiday time. So Happy New Year. Hey. And that's really our focus this morning as we think about fresh starts and what we're going to do with 2015. I'm sure some of you have made some New Year resolutions. You are thinking about what the new year holds, perhaps exams, perhaps important decisions, perhaps what new school you're going to go to. What does the new year hold? And we're going to be thinking about that today. We're going to start with a song which kind of takes us from Christmas right through Jesus' life. And I like this song because it kind of does the whole thing, the whole story. And we're kind of still in the Christmas mode. We've been thinking about Jesus being born as a baby. And the song is 1239 from the squalor of a borrowed stable. And it starts with the baby, but it takes us right through Jesus' life and shows us why he came and why he died and the glory of him rising again. So let's stand to sing joyfully from the squalor of a borrowed stable. Did you notice how each verse ended? What was the word at the end of each verse? Anybody notice that? Yeah? Emmanuel, fantastic. Emmanuel. What does that word mean? It's talking about Jesus, but what does the word mean, Emmanuel? Oh, that was really good. I hadn't seen that. What does the word mean? There you go. It's good when God's sense of humour clicks in. I hadn't even noticed that. Go on then, shout out. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And that's one of the reasons why I chose that hymn, because it tells the whole story of Jesus' life and reminds us, as if we need any reminding, that God is with us. Right through 2015, God is Emmanuel. He is with us. That's a fantastic promise. Let's bow our heads and pray and welcome God into our service this morning. So we're going to look this morning at a fresh start. You might feel that 2015, you have got a fresh start. Did anybody make any New Year resolutions? Any fresh starts? Does this mean that everyone at Cottenham is perfect already? Must be. Oh, somebody got a hand up there? No, just taking her coat off. Okay. Right, although you might not feel that you can share with me your resolutions, I guess that some of you thought, right, 2015, I'm going to make a fresh start. I'm not going to, or I am going to. I am going to lose weight. I am going to exercise. I am going to practice the piano every day, whatever it might be. We're going to look at the Israelites who had a fresh start. There was a film that came out over Christmas. It started on Boxing Day. Has anybody been to see that film yet? Or does anybody know what the film was about? It's from the Bible. So it's not The Hobbit. Sorry? No, not The Boy in the Dress. That was on Boxing Day as well. Boxing Day. This wasn't on telly. It's on at the cinema. Exodus, yeah, there's a film that started, it's worth going to see. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks good in the trailer. The story of Moses leading the Israelites from slavery in Egypt to the new land, a new land that God had promised them. They had been slaves for 400 years, and God had rescued them from being slaves and said, here is a new place to live. And Joshua helped them in battle conquer that land. And they're all kind of standing, just like I'm on the edge of the stage here. They were all standing at the edge of this new land, looking out to this land where they could live, looking at the hills and the grass and the crops and the rivers and the beauty of it all. And Joshua, well, this is what he said. Okay. And if you want to look in your Bibles, we're looking at Joshua chapter 24. And I'm just going to read one or two verses. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1 says this. Joshua assembled all the people of Israel. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And then when he had got all these leaders, all these important people together, this is what he says to them in verses 11 to 15. When you cross the Jordan River and come to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gidgerites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I, that's God, gave them all into your hands. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out and drove out the two Amorite kings. You didn't have to do it with your own sword and your own bow. I gave you the land on which you didn't toil and cities that you didn't build. And you will live here and you will eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you didn't plant. So fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away all the gods of your forefathers that you worshipped at the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods from your forefathers who you served before in Egypt. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In a minute or two, we're going to look at that little reading a bit more. Joshua had gathered all the important people of Israel. He'd lined them all up. He said, look at this land. We've conquered it, but now you've got a decision to make. And he reminded them of how faithful God had been. That they'd conquered all that land. That they had beaten all those people that I'm not going to read again in case I get it wrong. God had been really faithful to them. And so we're going to sing a song that reminds us of God's faithfulness. It's Lord, I come before your throne of grace. And the chorus really reminds us of God's faithfulness. It says, what a faithful God you are. Let's stand and sing number song 984. So Joseph. That's because we've had the Christmas story. Joshua, written it down, that helped me remind me. Joshua called all the important leaders of Israel to him. And they were standing at the edge of this new land. Now, I haven't been here for a year, but I remember in 2012, I came two or three times when your minister was on maternity leave. I remember you guys all joined in really well, so I hope that's going to still be the case, even though it's now 2013 when she was in maternity leave. Yeah, 2015 now. Okay. I would like 13, it might even be 14, I can't remember, people, that's a lot I know, some of you could perhaps solve two. First of all, I need perhaps the most important character of the story, who is Joshua? You were first. Joshua, the leader of Israel, who calls everybody together. So you are the most important person, can you stand at the front and you've got the most important job. Don't worry about that yet, that comes later, okay? This is Joshua, our leader, a faithful man of God. Are you a faithful man of God? Yes, it's fantastic. When everybody else said, look, this land is going to be far too difficult to conquer, there's giants, there's people that are going to beat us, Joshua said, no, we will do it, nothing is impossible with God. You're a great man of God. Fantastic. And then he called together all the leaders of Israel. Does anybody know how many tribes, how many groups of people there were in Israel? Yeah, have a guess. There's a bit more than eight, but you're quite close. Yes, well done. Now, most people would say 12, but actually one of the tribes of Israel, Joseph's tribe, was split into two. So there's 13. So that's fantastic. Well done. Brilliant answer. I think someone who answers that deserves a round of applause. I thought nobody would get that. Woo! So I hope I've remembered all 13. If I haven't, you'll have to forgive me. I was on holiday doing this preparation, you know, very laid back. But these are the names of the different groups or tribes of Israel. And we'd like you to represent at least one of them. Would you like to be one? Yep. Would you like to be Dan? Okay, you're Dan. Dan, and we've got one that's called Gad. Yeah, would you like to be Gad? So, interesting names. Ephraim, that's a hard name, yeah. Hello, would you like to be Manasseh? That's that one there. You stand up at the front, brilliant. Good, and you stand there and you hold that, that's that way round. Good, Levi, fantastic. Can you stand up there? We need a few more. Anyone, I know, you know, when you get a bit old, it's a bit embarrassing, but you're just helping me out. Just see it. Reuben, you're the oldest. You've got grey hair? Yeah. You're the oldest. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Judah. Aha, Judah, you could say that you're the most important because Jesus comes from your tribe. So do you think you're a bit above the others? Yes, you look a bit above the others. You can stand the other side. That's fine, if you want to. We need some more. Any more? Sean, you can come and be Naphtali. Thank you, David. You're Asher. Wonderful. Anybody else? Thank you. Zebulun. Issachar. Benjamin. Oh, come on. He was the favourite. Best looking, probably. You want to hold him as well, Benjamin? Best looking. Okay. Simeon. You need to hold two. Can you do that? You can? One in each hand. Okay, that's fine. Fantastic. I share it. That's asking a bit much. Okay. So, have we got Joshua? Here we got Joshua, and he stands, Joshua, just right at the front, and says to the people of Israel, look, here, right in front of us, is this land, okay? This is this land. Now, just imagine if we were going to a new country where nobody was living, it was a big area where we were going to live, what do you think the leader would tell you to do? What kind of things are you going to need in your new land? What are you going to need in the next hour, couple of hours? Food. Water. What did you say? Water. What else are we going to need today? Heat. Somewhere to live. A bed. What else are we going to need? We're going to need water. We're going to need food. Police. People to... Oh, yeah. That's worrying. He's going to need the police in the next couple of hours. But yes, you're absolutely right. Yes, you're absolutely right. I need the fire brigade. We might need the fire brigade. We might need people to look after our house. We might need health. That's fantastic. Well done. Okay, so let's, one at a time, think about the kind of things we might need in this new land. What have you got, Judah? Water. We're going to need water. What have you got, Gad? Well, unfortunately, we do need jobs. Yes? Benjamin says we need law and justice and trade. What's trade? Can you remember? Shops. Yeah, buying and selling things. Good. We can't grow everything we need. We might need to buy and sell things. Good. Asher, what have you got? We need somewhere to store our food. We need to learn how to do that. Good. Naphtali? We need some health. Good. Somebody said that. We might need some ambulances. Excellent. Education, that's close to my heart as a teacher. We need to learn how to live in a family. Yes, we don't want to argue the whole time. Yeah, that administration, it's a long word, but it basically means we need things to be organised. Okay, we can't just all do our own thing. Thank you. Zebulun at the back, what have you got? We need building fortifications. What on earth is that? What's a... Defences. Yeah, we need big walls to make sure that no one bashes our city down. Is the car at the back, what have you got? Marriage. We need to learn how to live together as man and wife and provide a place for our children. Excellent. Reuben? We need to learn how to farm. Levi, what do you think? What have you got? We need houses to live in. I think that's everything. Fantastic. So, you know, if I was Joshua, this is what I would tell my people. We're going into a new land. We need to learn how to build houses because we've been living in tents. We need to learn how to farm because we've just been looking after sheep and goats. We need to learn how to get on in families and have laws. This, you know, we want to make a great success of our new land. We need to do all these things. Did Joshua tell them any of these things? And Sean doesn't, because he knows that, because I practiced this on him. Throughout our holiday in Devon, he was getting all this fed to him. No, he didn't. I was amazed when I read this chapter. You'd think the leader would help them with some of these things, but he didn't help them with any of this thing. Joshua, could you stand at the front? That's right. That's right. This is what Joshua said to them. Turn it over. Follow God. He didn't tell them any of this practical stuff about how to live, although that might come later. He said, we're going into a new land, folks. Follow me. And you've got one thing to decide before we go into this new land. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the old gods? Are you going to follow your own selfish ambition? Or are you going to follow God? And he said, as for me, Joshua, man of God, me and my family, we're going to follow God. What are you going to do? Right, let's leave it there. Put your things down. Thank you very much. Can we give them a round of applause? If we could have the PowerPoint up very, very quickly. And on the second one, that's where we're at. We're a bit like all those people looking into, but we're not looking into a new land, we're looking into a new year. And there's probably all kinds of practical things we need to do. The two practical things we were just discussing this morning was that Sean needs to do his tax return. Anybody else need to do that? Yeah? And we have a kitchen that's 30 years old and we really need a new kitchen. And that's spending a lot of time getting quotes and looking at it. And there's, you could tell me loads of practical things you need to do as you look into the new year. But God says to us, choose. If we look at the next slide. As you look into this new year, the most important thing is not what school you're going to go to, not what university you're going to go to, not the questions the tax man's asking you, but the question I'm asking to you is, who are you going to serve in 2015? Choose today who you will serve. And Joshua said, and he says to us, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, we might have become Christians years ago, but we still, in a sense, have that decision to make every day. Who will I serve today on January the 4th? Will I put my own self first or will I put God first? Who will I serve in 2015? Am I going to put myself first or God first? And that's the decision that Jesus offers us at the beginning of this year. We've already sung that Jesus sacrificed himself for us. He showed that his love was complete. Who are we going to serve in 2015? Nick chose our next song because I'd chosen one that you didn't know. But it really fits in beautifully at this moment of the service because it talks about Jesus and how he was prepared to be broken, to die for us. How he gave himself for us so that we have that privilege of serving him. Let's stand and sing Beauty for Brokenness. So we're halfway through this exciting story that the people are standing on the edge looking into the land. And Joshua's given them a challenge. Who are you going to serve? Let's look at the second half of the story and how it relates to us. Again, if you want to look in your Bibles, we're looking at Joshua chapter 24 and we're up to verse 16. And the people answered, far be it for us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord who brought us out of Egypt. And then we look down at the end of verse 18. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. So the people here are all saying, we're going to serve God as well. What do you think Joshua might say? If somebody came to you and said, I want to become a Christian, what might you say? Do you think you might have a smile on your face? Do you think you might say, yeah, David said, great. Okay? Do you know what Joshua did say? And I was surprised when I read this. You cannot serve the Lord your God. You can't do it. That's really funny, isn't it? He's been saying, let's follow God. And the people say, yeah, we're going to follow God. And he turns around to them and says, well, you're going to fail. You won't be able to do it. Someone came to you this week and said, I want to become a Christian. Do you think the first thing we would say is, well, you're going to fail? It's such a surprising answer, and it comes in verse 19. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is holy. He is jealous. He will not forgive you your sins because you might forsake the Lord and serve other gods and bring disaster on yourself and make an end of yourself. But the people said to Joshua, no, we are serious about this. We will serve the Lord. So Joshua said, well, you are witnesses that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. So then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods and yield your hearts to the Lord. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. So on that day, Joshua made a covenant with the people. He drew up for them decrees and laws and recorded everything in the book of the law of God. And then he took a large stone and set it under an oak tree near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to the people, this stone is a witness. It has heard all the words that the Lord has said to us, and it is a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. So we're standing here at the beginning of 2015, making a decision. Who are we going to serve in 2015? Are we going to put ourselves first, or are we going to put God first? And hopefully, because we know how much God loves us, we want to respond to that love and say, yes, Lord, as for me and my family, we will serve you in 2015. But we need to hear those words from Joshua. You can't do it. And although they're discouraging, we know that's true, don't we? We cannot do it. Like any New Year resolution we make, we will fail. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to serve the Lord in 2015. And Joshua knew that. He said to the people, well, you're not going to be able to do it. You need some help, folks. And he actually gave them five different things to help them serve the Lord. And we're going to look at those five. And some of these, I think actually all of them, might be really helpful to us as we approach 2015 and think, how are we going to serve Jesus in 2015? The first thing that he tells us in verse 22, he says, you are witnesses to one another. In other words, if we decide in 2015 that we want to serve the Lord, we're going to need the help of each other. We need to tell somebody. Maybe you need to tell the mate you're sitting next to, I've decided I am going to serve God in 2015. Will you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. And we know here at Cottenham, we have a fellowship where we can pray for one another and encourage one another and share our hopes and our desires and our needs. And Joshua says we're going to need that. We need each other to be a witness and to be there for us through 2015 to encourage us. Sometimes we need someone to actually kind of just poke the elbow in and remind us. Remember January the 4th when you said you were going to serve God in 2015? Live up to that. The second thing that Joshua says that you need to do is to get rid of the old stuff. Not looking at anyone in particular in this congregation, but someone I know is rubbish, my husband, at getting rid of the old stuff. Did you get new stuff for Christmas? Did you get new clothes, new toys? Have you still got the old things? Is it getting a bit crowded? I bet it is. A bit messy. Joshua said, throw out all your old habits. And St. Paul says exactly the same thing in the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 3, he puts it like this. Sorry, my fingers are cold, can't turn to the place. Here we go. You must get rid of anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language, and do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and put on the new. And that's the next instruction that Joshua tells us. He says, throw out all those old habits and submit to God. In verse 24, Joshua says, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord God of Israel. And I was thinking, yield your hearts, that's a funny phrase, and I need two people to help me show what that actually means. Two people who think they might be good at judo. Yeah, you'll do. That's great, you can do it. You don't really have to be good at judo. No? Do you want to have a go? You don't have to throw, you just have to, don't have to throw yourselves around or anything like that. Yeah, come on, two people, we've got two people, that's fantastic. Okay, just wondering if you'd come to help. Nope, just come to have a look. Good, right. So the Bible says that we have to yield ourselves to God, and that's a really funny word. And the other word, when I looked it up, it said submit. And immediately I thought of judo. Do you know what judo is? What do you do in judo?
I surrender.
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely right. You fight each other, but you don't just fight. You actually do certain throws in certain ways until the other person says, I surrender. So you're absolutely right. You put your foot out, and I think you might need to take your hands out of your pocket. Yeah. And you gently, you're going to just gently lie down. Just gently lie down, okay? Thank you very much. Can you put your knee over him? Knee would be good. That gently, that's good. Gently, thank you. I'm sure that wasn't an official judo throw. In judo, for you to know that you have won, you have to submit. What is your name, sorry? Matthew has to submit. Okay, and the way that you do it, Matthew, do you know what you do? You bang your on the floor twice. You're not going to submit. Okay. Okay, that'll do. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. But that's what Joshua meant when he said, submit to God. If Matthew had submitted, he was saying, sorry, remind me of your name, to Adam, that Adam had won. Adam was the boss. Adam was in charge. Okay? Matthew was never going to do that, was he? But that is what God is asking us to do. And it's hard to do. Why didn't you want to do it? Just... Right, okay. You felt too proud. You thought, he's not better than me. Yeah. And we all have this pride inside us that says we don't want to say that anyone's better than us. And we have to get over that pride to submit ourselves to God. So Joshua said in 2015 to serve God, tell each other you're going to need each other's help, get rid of your old habits, submit to God to say, God, you are the boss. I want to get rid of my pride and my arrogance. You are the boss. And fourthly, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 24, we read the people said, we will serve the Lord and obey him. God is going to be the boss, we have to do what he says. Jesus linked these two things together in all his teaching. If you read John chapter 14, it comes three times. If you love me, you will obey me. Anyone who says he loves me and yet does not obey my commandments is kidding themselves. Love and obedience go hand in hand. And then the final thing that Joshua did was he got an enormous stone and he placed it at the boundary of the new land as a kind of physical testimony. You guys have said you're going to follow God in this new land. I'm putting this enormous stone up so that every time you see this stone, you're going to be reminded of your promise. And again, I was talking with Sean this week. We don't tend to do that kind of thing, but maybe we should. Maybe we should have something as a physical reminder that for 2015, we have decided to follow God. And we were not very good at thinking. You can come afterwards and tell me, yeah, we should have this or we should do that. We couldn't think of any physical reminder we could have apart from our Bibles. We can physically put our Bible out in our house. Don't just leave it on the shelf. Put it on your dining room table or your desk in your bedroom. Somewhere where you're going to see it every day. And have it as a physical reminder that God wants to speak to you as you open it. And a reminder that he wants you to serve him in 2015. You might think of even better physical reminders than we have, so please do tell us. We'd like to hear them. So, the year stretches ahead of us. We're not standing at the edge of a new land, we're standing at the edge of a new year. And God says to us through this story in Joshua, who are you going to serve? Your own purposes or me? And if you choose to follow me, then yes, you will fail, but I will give you my Holy Spirit to help you. I have given you each other to help you. I have given you the Holy Spirit to help you get rid of the old things and put on the new, to help you obey me, to help you understand my word. Let's encourage one another as we share the words of the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.